So we're continuing in our series on the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And our text tonight, one verse, is in John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Like John said, there's just so much. There is so much to say about what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. Light is such a rich theme in Scripture. But I've been reminded that this is a short talk a couple of times now, so I'm going to keep it brief. And there are just two pictures I'm going to try and grab quickly to try and give us something of what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. And really, they're two sort of bookends of this account in John chapter 8. If you consider the context in John chapter 7, and then something that happens in John chapter 9, it helps to shed light on what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. First of all, chapter 7 of John, if you want to read it later, you'll see that the things that were happening there were taking place in the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if you know anything about the Feast of Tabernacles amongst the Jews. It's one of the three great feasts. You can read more about it in Leviticus 23, if you'd like to do that later on. But in the Feast of Tabernacles, it was kind of like a harvest Thanksgiving service, looking back and thanking God for all that he'd done for the people of Israel. But also it was looking back on the time that God had led the people of Israel through the wilderness. And what they had to do, I'm sure the kids in the families loved this, they had to go and cut branches from the trees and make booths or shelters or tabernacles that they then had to live in during the 6 days, the 7 days of the feast. So it might have been on the roof of your house or in the courtyard of your house or in the temple precincts. But in the Feast of Tabernacles, you would have seen all these booths around Jerusalem and around the land as people remembered what God had done for them in the wilderness. Now, you won't read this directly in Scripture, but what history tells us is the Jews added another tradition to this Feast of Tabernacles, which Jews reading the Gospel of John would have known about. And that was, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the other thing they did, they erected four massive lamps in the temple courts, filled the tops with oil and lit them. And during the feast, people would dance and sing and celebrate in the light of these great lamps. The idea of the lamps, apparently, was to remind the people of Israel that they'd not only lived in booths in the wilderness, but that God had led them through the wilderness towards the promised land with a pillar of fire, which represented his presence. And they followed that light, that pillar of fire. So when Jesus stands up in the temple courts in chapter 8 of John and says, I am the light of the world, he's saying it to a bunch of people who remembered that just recently, maybe only hours before, those great lamps in the temple had been shining. Maybe you could even hear the tick, tick, tick of the cooling candelabras as Jesus said these words, I am the light of the world. So amongst other things, surely what Jesus was saying was, look, never mind these lamps in the temple courts, never mind the pillar of fire that they are meant to make you think about, they're meant to represent. I am the light of the world, not just the light of the temple courts, not just the light of Jerusalem. I am the light of the world. I don't think it's reading too much into it to say that Jesus was saying that he was the light that was leading, would lead his people out of slavery and through a wilderness and into the promised land. He is the great pillar of fire for those who see that he is the light of the world. So I think that's one picture that really helps us. And then the second picture that really helps us, if you flick forward to John chapter 9, I'm not going to read it, but you can read that later on as well. We read that Jesus healed a man born blind. And when he explains to the disciples this man hasn't sinned and it's nothing to do with his sin that he's blind, he then says in verse 5 of chapter 9, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he goes on to heal this man who's been born blind. I remember reading an article a little while ago that, if I understood it right, saying that some people who are born blind see nothing, but some of them see colors and shapes and images in their mind, even though they've never seen real light. But none of us can really imagine, I suppose, unless the miracles happen to you, what it means to be born blind and then suddenly see. But this man, in an instant, when Jesus heals him, His retinas are suddenly receiving light properly and the messages are getting to his brain and he sees light. And because of the light he sees everything in the world around him. His life is suddenly transformed, instantly transformed. And Jesus is saying there yet again, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? It means that there's only one light for this world. We're all in darkness. We all need rescuing. We all need leading out of slavery into a promised land, so to speak. We all need spiritual sight. We're in the dark, the darkness of our sin and our separation from God. And there's only one light for the world. And that when people see that light, in other words, when they see who Jesus is, it transforms everything. So maybe you're like me. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home. I've mentioned here a few times before that I grew up in a Christian home. I knew plenty about Jesus. But then this day came when it suddenly twigged who Jesus was. I saw who Jesus was properly for the first time. To use that corny old phrase, I saw the light. As one preacher put it, who I was listening to a while ago, it's as if suddenly my spiritual retinas that hadn't been working were working, and the light of who Jesus was hit me. And when the light of Jesus hits you, it just changes everything. You see your sin for what it is, you see the evil in the world for what it is, but you see Jesus for who he is, and you see the hope of heaven for what it is. The beautiful things in the world make much more sense now in the light of Jesus. Just when someone comes to see spiritually for the first time, it changes everything. That's just a couple of things I think it means that Jesus is the light of the world. So we're going to come to prayer now in a moment, and I've got a few sort of instructions to give you as you come to prayer in your groups. But can I suggest a couple of things off the back of this we could be praying for and giving thanks for? First of all, giving thanks to God that our spiritual retinas have had the life of Christ hit them if we believe in Jesus. That everything's changed now. Everything's changed. Everything. We've got hope of heaven now. And the world makes sense. So let's give thanks for that. Let's pray for Christians who are walking in dark valleys at the moment and maybe thinking right now, yeah, it's all very well for you to say that I'll never walk in darkness, as Jesus says there. It feels pretty dark right now. Yeah, but you can't ever be truly and utterly devoid of light anymore if you belong to Jesus. He will never let you go. The future is bright. The best is yet to be for the Christian. And let's pray tonight for those who haven't seen the light of who Jesus is yet. And pray that they would come to see his light. Maybe someone who's here tonight, someone you love, let's pray for them, shall we?